Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japan conference. So today's class will be given by Her Grace Kalasudha Mataji on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Madhya Lila chapter 22nd and verse 154 and onwards. So Hare Krishna Prabhuji Mata, I mean Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Dandotana Mataji.
Please forgive me.
No, not at all.
Thank you very much, Mataji.
Thank you so much. Thank you for this opportunity.
Time and association. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Please take over the call.
Thank you. जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत मध्य लीला चैप्टर 22 एंटाइटल्ड द प्रोसेस ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस रीडिंग फ्रॉम वर्सेस 154 थ्रू 161 टेक्स्ट 154 विराजन्तमभिव्यक्तां व्रजवासी जनादिषु रागात्मिका मनुसृता या सा रागानुगोच्यते डिवोशनल सर्विस इन स्पॉन्टेनियस लव इज विविडली एक्सप्रेस्ड एंड मैनिफेस्टेड बाय द इनहैबिटेंट्स ऑफ वृंदावन. Devotional service that accords with their devotional service is called Raganuga Bhakti, or devotional service following in the wake of spontaneous loving service. Text 155. When an advanced realized devotee hears about the affairs of the devotees of Vrindavan in the mellows of Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya, he becomes inclined in one of these ways, and his intelligence becomes attracted. Indeed, he begins to covet that particular type of devotion. When such covetousness is awakened, one's intelligence no longer depends on the instructions of Shastra, the revealed scripture, or on logic and argument. Text 156 through 157. There are two processes by which one may execute this Raganuga Bhakti, external and internal. When self-realized, the advanced devotee externally remains like a neophyte and executes all the Shastric injunctions, especially those concerning hearing and chanting. But within his mind, in his original, purified, self-realized position, he serves Krishna in Vrindavan in his particular way. He serves Krishna 24 hours a day, all day and night. Text 158. The advanced devotee who is inclined to spontaneous loving service should follow the activities of a particular associate of Krishna's in Vrindavan. He should execute service externally as a regulative devotee as well as internally from his self-realized position. Thus, he should perform devotional service both externally and internally. Text 159. Actually, the inhabitants of Vrindavan are very dear to Krishna. If one wants to engage in spontaneous loving service, he must follow the inhabitants of Vrindavan and constantly engage in devotional service within his mind. Text 160. The devotee should always think of Krishna within himself and should choose a very dear devotee who is a servitor of Krishna in Vrindavan. One should constantly engage in topics about that servitor and his loving relationship with Krishna, and one should live in Vrindavan. If one is physically unable to go to Vrindavan, he should mentally live there. Text 161. Krishna has many types of devotees. Some are servants, some are friends, some are parents, and some are conjugal lovers. Devotees who are situated in one of these attitudes of spontaneous love according to their choice are considered to be on the path of spontaneous loving service. Om Agyanati Mirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swaminiti Namine. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine. Namo Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaura Katha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramadharine. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasiti Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Really wonderful verses, quite esoteric subject matter. That is why Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is actually told that this is PhD level. It is above and beyond even the university level. It's really high topics being discussed here, especially. Here we are getting a clear understanding. You know, Srimad Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is quoting from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, from the Nectar of Devotion. And he's saying that devotional service in spontaneous love is vividly expressed and manifested by the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And Mahaprabhu, he actually established very, very profoundly, he has established the fact that the Vrajavadhus or the inhabitants of Vrindavan, anybody who is a resident of Vrindavan, is actually on the platform of spontaneous loving service to Krishna. The inhabitants of Vrindavan are glorious. They are, you know, even the animals, the trees of Vrindavan are special. They are very, 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 very unique living entities who are, you know, allowed to be residents of Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu has time and again stressed the importance of being a Brajabasi, inhabitant of Vrindavan. So, and therefore he, you know, in this entire series that we read from 154 to 161, one bottom line that I was seeing in all of these verses is that Krishna, you know, Lord Chaitanya is actually stressing that we should not try to become a devotee of Krishna ourselves and try to render direct service to Krishna ourselves, because we cannot do that. We are not qualified to do that. So Mahaprabhu was giving very clear-cut instructions that we must choose one devotee from Vrindavan, and we must, you know, like text 160 is very, very clearly saying the devotee should always think of Krishna within himself and should choose a very dear devotee who is a servitor of Krishna in Vrindavan. One should constantly engage in topics about that servitor. That we must become a devotee of Krishna's devotee. Then we are considered to be devotees. If we, you know, just say that, yes, I am a devotee of Krishna, we are not devotees of Krishna. You know, this was a simple formula that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, he would actually, you know, his appearance day is coming this weekend on Saturday. We are going to be celebrating the Transcendental Appearance Day of Srila Prabhupada. And Sri Srila Prabhupada had a very, very clear-cut formula of judging who he wants to meet and who he does not want to meet. So if anyone would come to meet him, he would ask his secretary, go and ask that person, who is he? And that if that person would say, well, I'm a devotee of Krishna, then Sri Srila Prabhupada would say, no, no, go and tell him or her that I don't have time. I really don't have time, I'm really busy, I cannot meet with them. But if that person would give in response that, well, I'm trying to be a devotee of Krishna's devotees, then Srila Prabhupada would say, garland him, bring him in, welcome him. I want to worship that devotee. Who is that devotee who is saying that he's a devotee of Krishna's devotees? And then Srila Prabhupada would say, I have all the time in the world for such a person, bring him in. So this was the way Srila Prabhupada would also, determine of whom he wants to give his time to and whom he does not want to give his time to. So Krishna also sees that when we become dear to his devotees, when we try to serve his devotees, when we are trying to, make all arrangements for his dear devotees, then Krishna takes more notice of such devotees. He actually gets a keen eye that who is this person who is serving my devotees so nicely, who is attached to my devotee? Who is this person? Then Krishna notices us. Srila Prabhupada always would say, we never try to see Krishna because we'll be unable to see Krishna. We do not know how to see Krishna. We do not have the eyes to see Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada would say that just act in such a way that Krishna would want to see us. That is the secret. That we should, mold our lives in such a way. We should live our lives in such a way that Krishna would want to see us. Not that we try to see Krishna, because it's impossible. We can never, never ever try to see Krishna. So devotional service, here Mahaprabhu is talking about Raganuga Bhakti and also Vaidhi Bhakti, but here more stress Mahaprabhu is, he's talked about Vaidhi Bhakti before and now he's talking more on Raganuga Bhakti. So Raganuga Bhakti, when we are rendering Raganuga Bhakti, we need to know, it's of course we know it for certain that we are definitely not capable, at least, I can speak for myself, and not even, anywhere near Raganuga Bhakti. It's, definitely very far away. But Srila Prabhupada made sure that we know all these principles so that we know how much higher we have to go. How much higher do we have to climb? Where is Mount Everest? We need to know. Climbing will then come after it. But we first need to know the existence of Mount Everest so that we can even think and plan to climb the Mount Everest. So this is that. So this knowledge should not really scare us. It should not say that, how are we going to even get to this level? Well, it's going to definitely take time. It will take time. It's not an overnight process. But it is setting us, giving us a goal that, yes, this is the ultimate goal. That this is the ultimate position that we must be in our devotional careers. That this is the, benchmark that Mahaprabhu has set for all of us. So this is the way that we know this is the location of Mount Everest. This is the this is the knowledge of the existence of Mount Everest. And that is actually, once we know the existence of Mount Everest, then that is, more than 50% of the, work accomplished. Then when we actually start the climb, that is, the rest of the 40%. So therefore it is very important for us to understand what is Raganuga Bhakti, or devotional service rendered in spontaneous love to Krishna, in spontaneous love. We don't have to really struggle to really, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We don't have to struggle and to remind ourselves that, please, think of Krishna. That will come naturally. It will come spontaneously. So that is the level that Mahaprabhu is discussing here. That text 155 goes on to say that when an advanced realized devotee hears about the affairs of the devotees of Vrindavan in the mellows of Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya, he becomes inclined in one of these ways and his intelligence becomes attracted. indeed he begins to covet that particular type of devotion. When such covetousness is awakened, one's intelligence no longer depends on the instructions of the Shastra or on logic and on argument. Now, all of this is said in one verse, but it is not like that in actuality. You know? What is it in actuality? The actuality is the first three lines, that yes, when we hear about the loving reciprocations of, you know, in Shantaras, how the, you know, the grass of Vrindavan is, you know, just, you know, they actually get so soft whenever Krishna is about to walk on them. They make sure that they have dewdrops stuck on their, you know, the top parts of the grass, so that when Krishna steps on the fresh dewdrops, Krishna would get a nice tingling sensation. So Krishna would feel very happy. That is how this grass is serving Krishna in Vrindavan. This is how the flute, whenever Krishna wants, Krishna picks up the flute and he plays. So this is how the loving reciprocation of devotees are in Shantaras. All of the jewelry of Krishna, the ornaments of Krishna, the outfits of Krishna, Krishna's peacock feather adorning his forehead, all of this is in Shantaras. Dasyaras. How the servants of Krishna, you know, how they are so dedicated, you know, each and every one of the servitors in Nanda Maharaj's palace, you know, how much they are so obediently following the instructions given by Nanda Maharaj and Jashoda Maya, and they are all in connection to Krishna. You see, Nanda Baba, he's actually the king of Vrindavan. Mother Jashoda is the queen of Vrindavan. So their servants should revolve around them. But it's actually the other way around. They are also revolving around their servants so that the servants will take care of each and every need of Krishna and Balaram. And even before their need is expressed, that everything should be available for their pleasure. That is how the consciousness of Nanda Baba and Jashoda Maya are working, and how they are directing each and every servant to make sure that even before Krishna desires certain things, that that object is there for Krishna. That is how great the servitors of Vrindavan are, that they know what Krishna's mind is. You know, Srila Prabhupada would often give this very beautiful example. He would say that there are three classes of disciples, you know, three categories of disciples. He said that the third class disciple is one when they are given some instructions and they completely don't do that. They don't live up to their instructions. So that is a third class disciple. A second class disciple is when they are given the instruction, they follow it very nicely. That is a second class disciple. But a first class disciple is one who, even without the spiritual master saying anything, they know the heart of the spiritual master and they act accordingly. That is a first class disciple. When a disciple can know the heart and mind of the spiritual master, and then they can, you know, act just right according to the way the spiritual master wants them to act, and everything needs to be done in that way. When the disciple can lead their life like that, then they are first class disciples. Srila Prabhupada, he knew so well the heart and the mind of his spiritual master, Sri Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was, that's why he is like that moon. You know, Sri Srila Prabhupada said about Prabhupada that I don't need all these stars in the sky when I have one moon. So Srila Prabhupada is the moon in the sky of Sri Srila Prabhupada's, you know, sky of disciples. That is Srila Prabhupada. And we are so fortunate that we are part of this, you know, organization that is started by Srila Prabhupada in fulfillment of the instructions that he received from his spiritual master, understanding the desires and the heart and the mind of his spiritual master. So that is how the Dasya, you know, Ras, is that, you know, they know the heart of the master.
that whatever the master needs, even before the master says anything, the servants know, yes, this is what my master needs, and this is what I need to give. That is perfect dasya. That is a perfect servitor. So everybody in Vrindavan, you know, Mother Jashoda and Nanda Baba, and, you know, the other, you know, all the other senior gopas, gopis, the senior servitors, you know, the senior maidservants of Krishna, all of them, they know the heart and mind of Krishna, and they are training others also in the same way. So dasya ras. Then sakya ras. How Krishna is so beautifully playing with his cowherd boyfriends. What magical exchanges they have. These boys, when Krishna is interacting with his friends, he even forgets that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna does not interact with his friends as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He does not do that. If Krishna loses, they come and call him, "Hey, cheater, you better not do this. You know, you cannot cheat us like this, Krishna. You cannot win. If you have lost, accept it that you have lost and you carry us on your shoulder." And Krishna would accept it, okay, fine. He would sulk. And just like how, you know, we see normal kids, how they will sulk when they lose, Krishna sulks with his friends and he'll, you know, unwillingly he'll carry his friends on his shoulder. Such magical, loving exchanges these boys have. When Krishna was bound by ropes and given a time out by Mother Jashoda on Diwali day, on the most auspicious day of Diwali, because Krishna had done the grievous offense of breaking the pot and dirtying the house, a spotless house that Mother Jashoda had spent weeks together cleaning up and preparing for Diwali, Krishna had messed that home up by breaking the butter pot, and he broke the yogurt that was getting churned into butter, and Krishna did all that, you know, mischief. And then on top of that, he made Mother Jashoda run around entire Gokul. She was running around chasing him and trying to catch him, and Mother Jashoda was so exhausted. She said that, "No, today I have to really punish my son. Today he needs to get a time out. He needs to learn his lesson." So she tied him up and then, you know, went inside the care of her business. And then when Krishna's friends came, what did they say? They said, Kanha, today you have, you know, been punished, and we are so happy. Every day you get away with all your mischief, but look, today you have been punished." So when we hear such beautiful exchanges, such magical exchanges, you know, from Shantaras, Dasyaras, Sakyaras, it melts our hearts. It touches our hearts. You know, these pastimes, the reason why these pastimes are there is that we get a glimpse of the spiritual world. That's what these pastimes are meant to do, to reawaken our lost relationship with Krishna. To, you know, remind ourselves, we are all amnesia patients. We have forgotten our loving relationship with Krishna. So when we constantly hear again and again about these pastimes, just like amnesia patients, they are taken, you know, the best way to treat an amnesia patient, the doctor says, is that take them to familiar places. Take them to places where they used to visit, where they, you know, before their memory loss, where they used to go. Then some memory might trigger and they'll get their memory back. So that's what we are doing. This entire process of devotional service is exactly that. We are all amnesia patients. We have forgotten our, you know, deep loving relationship with Krishna. We have forgotten that. And to revive our lost relationship with Krishna, these are the pastimes that we need to constantly hear. By hearing it over and over and over again, one day for sure, it will hit a strike, we'll hit a chord, a nerve in our brain, and we will just remember, "Oh yes, this is what, you know, is my loving relationship with Krishna." So that is the, you know, mood with which we must listen to these beautiful pastimes. Vatsalya Ras, how Mother Yashoda, you know, how Nanda Baba, you know, when Krishna left Vrindavan and, you know, Krishna did not return. Krishna left, Akrura took Krishna and Balaram and he left from Vrindavan. He went away. And then Krishna was feeling extreme separation from all the Brajabasis. And all the Brajabasis had become lifeless without Krishna. They had become lifeless without him. They were just sustaining their life because they were somehow in the deepest regions of their minds, they were still having that connection with Krishna. So therefore, they were sustaining their life there. But they were lifeless without the presence of Krishna. So Krishna, he sent Uddhava, his dearmost friend, with a message to the Brajabasis. There was a special message for all the Brajabasis. There was a special message especially for Nanda Baba and Yashoda Maiya. And there was a special message for Srimati Radharani and the Gopis. So these letters Krishna sent his dear confidential friend Uddhava. And when Uddhava came to the outskirts of Braj, to the outskirts of Nandagaon, at that time Uddhava, he got down from his chariot and he saw there were some farmers, some gopas who were in the fields, and he asked that, I have come here from Mathura, so can you tell me where is the house of Nanda Baba and Yashoda Maiya? I have to go and meet with them. I have a message from Krishna. And when the Brajbasis, when these farmers, when they saw Uddhava, they thought that Krishna had come because Akrura had taken Krishna and Balaram away in a chariot. And when a chariot came back, they said, oh, Krishna has come, Krishna has come. But then they got sad. They said, oh, it's not Krishna. It's his friend Uddhava who has come. So then, how did the Brajbasis, those farmers, how did they give the address of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba's palace? The way they said that, the way they gave the directions to Uddhava, Uddhava was stunned. He was shocked. The way they said that this is how you can find the house of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba, they said to Uddhava, that my dear Uddhava, do you see this stream of, you know, this stream coming down, water coming, you know, passing by? And Uddhava said, yes, I just crossed the Jamuna. What is this river again? What is this, you know, stream like a canal? It's, you know, so much water. Where is this coming from? Is this like a branch of the Yamuna? And then the Brajbasi said, no, my dear Uddhava, this is not the branch of the Yamuna. This is actually the tears that are flowing from the eyes of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba. You just follow this canal, you know, walk along the side of this canal, and where it ends, that is the palace of Nanda Baba and Yashoda Maiya. Uddhava was shocked. He could not believe his eyes. He could not believe his ears. To see such a strong flowing stream of water to be the tears of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba, how much love they have for Krishna. Uddhava was stunned. Uddhava was shocked. So he started walking along the, you know, shores of that canal, and he started walking, and, you know, he was walking his way up. He was walking, 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 and then towards the end of the canal, he saw that there was like a, you know, like how you have like an abandoned ghost house, a haunted villa, haunted mansion, like that. It was like a haunted, you know, it was fully dark. There was no light that was going inside. There were cobwebs all around. It was, you know, uninhabited place. It looked as if nobody has entered that house nor come out from that house for ages together. So it looked so abandoned. And then Uddhava said, Uddhava was told that, yes, this is the house of Nanda Baba and Yashoda Maiya. And then Uddhava asked, so where are they? Where is Nanda Baba and where is Yashoda Maiya? And then the Brajabasi said, please go inside, you will find them inside.
they are inside. So when Uddhava walked in, you know, the house was really making, the palace was making sounds like a haunted mansion. You know, the gates were opening with a creaky sound, the doors were, you know, with full of cobwebs, and there was so much of dust, as if nobody lives in that palace. So when Uddhava opened the door, you know, there was a streak of light that entered along with Uddhava, and everything became lighted up. When Uddhava walked in, he saw that there was a fragile, you know, like there was only a fragile old man and a fragile, delicate old lady who could not even stand up. They had become so old, they had become so disintegrated, their bodies had shriveled up. There was no, you know, no flesh remaining in their body. It was only bones and skin. Mother Jashoda's hair had just, you know, no combing. She had all, you know, hair was just, you know, like not being combed for years together. Nanda Baba was coughing and sitting, and Mother Jashoda just looked up, you know, through her eyes. She said, "Who is it?" And then she had, her eyes had become all blurry because of so much of crying. She had practically lost her vision. So then she just wiped her eyes again and again, and then Uddhava's little face came in front of her and she said, "Kanha, is it you?" Because Uddhava looks exactly like Krishna. So when, and then Mother Jashoda, she could not even stand, and Uddhava came and he gave Shashtang Dandavat Pranam to Mother Jashoda and to Nanda Baba, saying that, "I am Uddhava. I have come here with a message from your beloved Krishna." And Mother Jashoda, you know, she could not even stand up. She was all, you know, her body was bent like a bow. You know, her body had become bent like a bow. You know how, like bow and arrow, like that bow, her body had become bent. She could not even stand straight. So Uddhava came and she made him sit next to herself, and then Nanda Baba was so happy to see him. And Uddhava was feeling, you know, his heart was breaking into a million pieces, seeing the condition and the extent of love that Mother Jashoda and Nanda Baba have for Kanha. This was the epitome of Vatsalya Ras. That seeing the condition of Nanda Baba and Jashoda, Uddhava was amazed. He was stunned. He was shocked. Then he, you know, very, very compassionately, he read out the message that Krishna had very lovingly sent for Nanda Baba and Jashoda Maya. And Jashoda Maya was so pleased to hear the message from her beloved darling son, Kanha. She was so happy. She somehow got up and she said, "You, my dear Uddhava, have come so kindly. You have filled in new life in our bodies by giving us the message from Krishna. So I have to do something for you." So Mother Jashoda went outside her house. She went and she said, "Please give me little milk." And she just combined some rice into it and she came and fed Uddhava with her own lotus hands. Just some milk and rice. That was, you know, the condition of Mother Jashoda and Nanda Baba in separation from Krishna. The epitome of Vatsalya Ras. This is, there's nothing beyond this. And seeing this, witnessing this kind of magic, and, you know, this kind of loving, you know, exchange between Krishna and Nanda Baba and Jashoda Maya, Uddhava was, you know, he was, his pride of being a scholarly devotee was completely vanquished. He was, you know, he had great pride that he actually was the knower of all the Vedanta Sutras. That, you know, Uddhava was very, very learned. He was a very scholarly person. And then, you know, he used to think that all this love and all this, you know, this is all sentiment. You know, it's all beneath
you know, knowledge. Knowledge is far beyond all of this. But when he saw the love of Mother Jashoda and Nanda Baba, his pride of, you know, jnana, his pride of, you know, he was a jnana mishra bhakta, Uddhava was a jnana mishra bhakta. So his pride of all of his knowledge was shattered. And the pride got completely deflated when he actually finally met with the gopis and Srimati Radharani. This is Madhurya Ras. That the epitome of Madhurya Ras, you know, is you know, it cannot be described. It just cannot be described. Because Uddhava, when he came to deliver the message to the gopis, at that time, Uddhava said, well, I have a special letter for Srimati Radharani. Where is she? All of you are there, you know, and then, you know, Chitra, Champakalata, Tunga Vidya, Rangadevi, Sudevi, all of these gopis and all of the other sakhis, they all came to Uddhava, they came running, and they said, oh, this is a letter from Krishna? Give, give, give. Does it have my name? Does it have my name? I want to see my name. Is this letter having my name? And they just tore apart every letter, you know, tore it. Everyone took a bit. Oh, this part has my name. This part has my name. They just tore it. They couldn't even read the letter. And then Uddhava was like, oh, now what will I do? I don't have a letter to read to you. And so where is Srimati Radharani? I have a special letter for her. And then the gopis got really mad with Uddhava. They said, why do you care? Why does your friend care for our Sakhi? Why does he care now? You want to see what is the condition of Srimati Radharani? Come. We'll take you to her. And they brought Uddhava to see Mahabhav Swarupini Srimati Radha Thakurani. In the condition of Srimati Radharani, Uddhava, he just fell like a straw, which is helplessly, when a straw is stuck by, you know, is in the middle of a storm, how it just sways and, you know, falls down, it has no existence, it is just blown away. That was the condition that Uddhava was in when he saw Srimati Radharani. Because Srimati Radharani, she was, you know, dressed in saffron clothes in separation from Krishna. She was not having any kind of jewelry on. She was not, you know, dressed properly, nothing. She was in, and she was just, you know, one time she was seeing. She would get up, oh Krishna, you're here, and then she would again faint. She would just faint. She would lose her consciousness. And she had just filled up everything around her. You know, there was water all around her, and it was water that was coming out from her two divine lotus-like eyes. She was drowning in her own tears. And this is what the Sakhi said, that see, this is the condition that your friend has done to our Sakhi. Seeing the plight of Srimati Radharani, would just melted. And all of his pride, of his jnana, everything was gone. And that was the moment that Uddhava actually said that, I want to be a creeper in Vrindavan. That I want to be a blade of grass in Vrindavan and a creeper in Vrindavan so that I can take the dust of the lotus feet of these Brajabasis upon my head. And it is explained that till today Uddhava is residing in Vrindavan as a creeper, as a blade of grass, so that, you know, the Brajabasis, when they walk on him, that he can take the dust of their lotus feet on his head. So this is the glory of these Brajabasis. How glorious they are. How, you know, when we listen to such pastimes, this is the way we reawaken our lost relationship with Krishna. But, you know, what is said in the later half of this particular verse, that he begins to covet that particular type of devotion, we should be very careful that we should, you know, Srila Prabhupada said that for all of us, in our stage of Krishna consciousness, that we should be attached only to the dasya ras of Krishna, that we should only be serving Krishna in the attitude of a servant. Because if we go anything beyond that, in the contaminated state that we are in, we will become, it will become, you know, watered down. It will become very superficial. It will become very contaminated because we are not at the level of pure devotional service. We are not at that level. So we need to accept it. But listening to these pastimes, they help us in knowing that, yes, this is the benchmark, that this is the level that I need to rise my consciousness to. And when we do that, that when we can really, you know, try to engage ourselves in serving the Vaishnavas, in serving the devotees of Krishna, then one day Krishna will definitely cast his sidelong loving glance upon us. And that is our only hope. But here also in text 160 it is said that if we are unable to live in Vrindavan, then at least mentally we should try and live in Vrindavan. There is no excuse to not living in Vrindavan in our minds. And who revealed Vrindavan to us? It is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he gave us, you know, he revealed Vrindavan Dham to us. He revealed these, you know, most intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the Brajabasi relationships. It is Mahaprabhu who has given us all of this. Jodi gaur na hoito, tobe ki hoito, kemone dhoritam deho. Radharo mohima, premo rasho shima. How would we know all of this? That if Mahaprabhu was not there, how would we know the loving relationships and the epitome of Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna? How would we, you know, jagote janatoke, how would we know all of this if it was not for Mahaprabhu? So, we will end here. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Kalasuta Mataji. Very, very nectarian class. Actually, the nectar, not the class. So, thank you very much for giving very nice nectar to sustain. It gives goosebumps. Thank you, Hare Krishna. If anybody has any questions, maybe you can ask a question. If have a comment, they can give a comment also. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Shall I go ahead?
Yes, Mataji, please go ahead.
Okay, sorry, Mataji. Mataji, if you have any questions, please, you can take over.
No, Mataji, I just had a comment.
Okay. So, thank you so much, Kalasuda Mataji, for your wonderful class. And as Kaumudaki Mataji said, that really hair was standing on our end, especially mine when I was hearing the class. So beautiful, you know. I just have one question, Mataji.
Yes.
The love of gopis and the love of Srimati Radharani, love of Yashoda Mayan and Maharaj, do they fall under the category of Raga Nuga Bhakti? Because as Rupa Goswami Pad in Lecture of Devotion, he states that Raga Nuga Bhakti still is on the platform of Sadhana Bhakti, and the love of gopis is much more than that, and it's on the level of Prema Bhakti.
So yes, that is right. That is right. That is absolutely right. That the love of the Brajavasis, they are on a completely different platform. You know, they are not, you know, because Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti, they are, as you said, they are part of Sadhana Bhakti. So they are not doing Sadhana Bhakti at all. They just love Krishna because he is so lovable. That's all. You know, they don't love Krishna because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They don't care about it, whether he's, you know, God or not. They just love him helplessly.
And that's on a completely different level of prema bhakti. You know, so that category of love is not on Raganuga bhakti at all. You know, Raganuga bhakti is actually, you know, in one point, it is also explained that when we also return back home, back to Godhead, our love for Krishna also is on the level of prema bhakti. We can have prema bhakti towards Krishna. Once we are, you know, after the bhoma lila with Krishna, then when we, once we finally go back home, back to Godhead, then we have the opportunity to render prema bhakti to Krishna. But while we are in this world, we actually, you know, because it is talked about internal and external, you know, having internally Raganuga Bhakti, but externally also, you know, although internally we have Raganuga Bhakti, but even externally we show that we are following Vaidhi Bhakti, you know. So that also is being explained here in these few verses. I didn't touch upon those points. But yes, that is the technicality of it. And we can see Srila Prabhupada was completely on that platform. That internally Srila Prabhupada is completely a Raganuga Bhakta. In fact, he was even a Prema Bhakta. You know, but Srila Prabhupada externally, he also chanted his japa regularly. He also followed every rule and regulation. Srila Prabhupada followed each and every one of that. Just so that externally he is following everything. That's an Acharya. So an Acharya comes down from the Uttam Adhikari position to, you know, where he can set the proper example, set the proper standards. So Srila Prabhupada did that. But internally Srila Prabhupada, you know, he is a Prema Bhakta. He is a Raganuga Bhakta, like that. So, yes, definitely your point is very correct, that the love of the Brajvasis is on a completely different level, very different from that of Raganuga Bhakti. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Mataji, yeah. You know, like today, I don't know how coincidence it is, like in the morning when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, we were reading Adi Leela chapter 6 and the verses from 57, 58, 59, and exactly AV came at this point, wherein the evidences are given of how like Krishna, like the devotees love Krishna. And it was like Uddhava's examples given over there in elaborate in those verses. And I'm so happy that the same verses he explained, because we were having trouble over there. Thank you so much, Mataji, for this class and for the wonderful explanation. And the detailed explanation, rather.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
हरे कृष्णा माताजी दंडवत प्रणाम शीला प्रभुपाद की जय गुरु महाराज की जय माताजी सच ए ब्यूटीफुल क्लास वेरी वेरी नाइस माताजी आई रियली लाइक दी पॉइंट दैट यू आर टेलिंग यू आर स्ट्रेसिंग मोर दैट यू हैव टू बी यू नो डिवोटी ऑफ Krishna's dasya, like you have to serve him, yeah, you have to be his devotee then, instead of being the Krishna's devotee who is serving Krishna. That point is really very, very nice, Mataji. It's really, we have to always meditate on that point, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. Very, very nice. And when you are explaining the pastime of the letter and that, all that pastime was so beautiful, Mataji. I couldn't imagine it in front of my eyes. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you, Vinaya. Actually, that lecture I heard from Srila Radharaman Maharaj when the year that I did Vrajamandal. And that was the lecture that, you know, I remember each and every word of it, because in 2016, that particular lecture where he heard it sitting on the outskirts of Nandagaon at Uddhav Keri, you know, there's a very beautiful place which has the temple of Uddhava. And we just sat down in the fields and Maharaj started telling this entire pastime. And, you know, about Nanda Baba, Jashodamaya and the gopis. And then Maharaj just stopped, you know, like the point that I stopped, Maharaj also stopped there and he said, well, that's all I can speak. And, you know, we could understand that it was impossible to speak after that. You know, was, so I just repeated, like a mindless parrot, I just repeated that. But, it was a very, very life-transforming lecture even for me. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Radha Raman Maharaj ki jai. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Echi Kalakita Mataji, Dandat Panam, Chile Prabhupada Sila Guru Devataji. As usual, Nectarian class, Mataji. H.S. Radha Raman Maharaj ki jai. Mataji, how nicely you explain about Radha Rani's mood. You just fall down, you just open eyes and again fall down. And the mood of Yashoda Maharani and Nanda Baba, the skeleton is there, and they also become like so weak. And Uddhava learned lesson, not only Uddhava, but we learned lesson that how we have to serve Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani, especially our japa. When we are working day, sometimes, especially on Friday, we become tired, and that day, Mataji, my morning 11 japa will complete, but the 4-5 japa is totally materialistic. But I will try my best to do so sincerely that japa, Mataji. And if you have a time, can you please share Sisinitananda Astakam or Shishirata Astakam or Sisjaganath Astakam, whatever comfortable for you. And one more thing, Mataji, that Udhavji wants to become a creeper or become a dust of Sri Dham, Gundam Dham, but we are not qualified for that also, Mataji. Pray for us that every year, by Radhani's mercy, entering Sri Dham, Gundam Dham in Kartik month. Then with Pranam.
Jai Ho. Jai Ho. You also please pray for us. We have the desire of doing the Brajamandal Parikrama this year in Kartik again. So please pray for us that we can also do it for the pleasure and satisfaction of our spiritual masters and all devotees. Thank you, Mataji. Any other comments or questions?
If there is no question, Mataji, sing whatever comfortable for you. Thank you, Pranam.
Hare Krishna. Can you hear me?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. And what's going on, Sudha Mataji? Thank you again for such a wonderful session. It was a very beautiful pastime with so much emotion that you recounted. Thank you so much, Mataji. We are very grateful to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, extremely grateful for the opportunity. Thank you.
Mataji, I also want to apologize. Unfortunately, we tried to do the YouTube live, but today the echoing was unbearable and there was so much, disturbance, maybe because of my connection, or I'm not sure what happened. So I really humbly apologize and I hope we are able to fix it. I feel very bad it happened when you were speaking. I'm so sorry, Mataji.
No. Please, no problem at all. No problem. Please don't apologize.
Hare Krishna Kavasada Mataji.
Albrecht
Prabhupada. I just wanted to make one quick comment. I don't know if it's necessary, but instead of actually, it wasn't a mindless parrot that you were speaking about. It was a mindful parrot. So you took us back with your mind. You took us all back. Thank you, Mataji.
Well, I know what I am, so I can speak that. I can really say that it is. Because to tell you very frankly, I actually didn't even get a chance to prepare for this class. Even up to 5 minutes before the class, I was on a phone call. I was on a phone call, and it was a very important call, so I couldn't, get away with it. And I never even looked at the verses before I didn't get an opportunity to look at the verses. So just 5 minutes before, I just glanced through and I didn't even know what to speak. But I guess, somehow I thought, okay, these verses are there, so let me see what I can do. And I just depended on Guru Krishna and
somehow Krishna gave the intelligence. But that's why I said mindless, because it was not, I didn't think about even, or get an opportunity rather to prepare this class. But thank you.
And it shows how much you've completely imbibed Radhana Swami Maharaj's class that day, that you could so eloquently say it, you know, share it with us today. So thank you, Mataji.
It's Radha Raman Maharaj.
Oh, Radha Raman Maharaj. Okay, thank you, Mataji.
Yeah. Thank you.
If nobody has questions, then we can sing as Vrinda Mataji. Vrinda Gopika Mataji.
Vrinda Gopika Mataji. What should I sing?
Jayati Te Digam.
What's that, Mataji?
Jayati Te Digam.
Jai. Okay. Gopya Chuhu. Jayati Te Digam. Jambana Vraja. Shrayata Indira. Ashwagatrahi. Daita Drishata. Dikshutavaka. Paitrita Subhas. Tvam Vichinvate. Sharadudashaye. Sadhu Jata Sat. Sharasi Jodara. Shri Mosha Drisha. Suratana Thate. Ashoka Dasika. Varada Nignato. Neha Kim Vadha. Jai Shri Shri Gopi Gita Ki. Jai
Shri Gopi Gita Ki. Jai. Dhanwad Pranam. Thank you, Mataji. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mataji. Very, very nice, beautiful,
beautiful
class.
Thank you.
I'm very grateful to you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Give us your association more and more. Thank you, Mataji. And you said that you didn't need to prepare, but there was no need for you to prepare. You could see the knowledge that flows from your beautiful mouth.
No,
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry to ask in the last, so I don't want to disturb everyone, so... I just have one question, Mataji.
Yes.
It's a very wonderful class, obviously. So, during Vaishnava Seva, so we always want to be a servant of Krishna, Dasanatas. So, in that, like doing Seva, so I just have one doubt, in what kind of a seva that we have to do, or if there is any restriction, we should not do the seva. So, for example, I have a doubt, if a Vaishnava, if a devotee likes some sweets, so if I try to please them by just making that sweet for them, so is that please them? Is that a proper way to please them? Actually, yes, of course, we have to do seva to Krishna, or we have to be sincere in following the principles so that the devotees will be pleased. But whether this kind of a seva is also accepted as a seva, just to please them, just we are making whatever they like.
Absolutely, absolutely, yes. Like, say, for example, Srila Prabhupada would always say that if a guest comes to your house and they are saying, please give me water, but you say, well, I have made buttermilk, and I thought that I will serve buttermilk to you when you come, so you should drink this buttermilk. But they are asking for water, they are thirsty for water, and when you're thirsty for water, only water can quench our thirst, nothing else. So just give them water and then you can give them the buttermilk also. So similarly, if we can really try and find out, yes, what pleases the devotees, and if we can do something like that, there's no other service better than that. Yes, that is serving the Vaishnavas for sure. And the most important thing when we do service to Vaishnavas, even devotional service to Krishna, whenever we do, whatever we do, the most important thing is our attitude. Are we doing it with really amanina manadena? You know, are we doing it with that mood? That whether, you know, whether the devotees, when we serve them, even things that they like, if they forget to mention to us, oh, it was very nice, do we do with that expectation? Then that's not very pleasing to Krishna. You know, when we do it without any expectation, by really not expecting anything in return, but just doing it for pleasing the devotees, that is the attitude of gratitude that Krishna is really looking for. And Krishna reciprocates with that loving gratitude. You know, when we are not expecting anything from anybody, then when the mercy comes, you know, like when a beggar is begging for some food or money on the street, and the beggar is actually going with no expectation. That's why he goes around begging, right? He's not saying that, oh, I'm begging, therefore you have to give me money. No. But when I pay at the restaurant, I'm expecting that I get good treatment because I'm paying. I'm paying for the food, so I expect a nice plate of hot, nice meal that should be presented in front of me. But that's not a demand that a beggar can do. Just because the beggar is begging doesn't mean that he's going to get the money. It is going to be dependent on whether the person gets, you know, inspired to give anything to the beggar. Right? So that should be our condition, that we are begging Krishna's mercy without any expectation. We are not trying to bribe Krishna. We are not trying to bribe Krishna with, you know, our services. That should be the mentality, that we are really that beggar, that we should not have any expectation. And when the mercy is coming, then we will accept it gratefully. Because we know that we don't deserve it, but Krishna is so kind. Devotees, you are so kind. You are giving me what I don't even deserve. So I'm thankful, I'm grateful for that. That attitude is what pleases Krishna. So that is the attitude with which we must serve the Vaishnavas. We must try to serve Krishna with that attitude. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Mrs. Chiu. Thank you so much.
Very, very beautiful question. Thank you for asking.
Thank you, Mrs. Chiu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay, if there's no more questions, Mataji, you want to end the call?
Yeah, we can end the call. Thank you very much, Mataji. Very, very wonderful. And after Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Kopatarudyasya Kripasindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavedo Namo Namah Ananta Kuti Vaishnavrindu Ki Jai Namacharya Shabhashakurti Jai
Jay.
Jay. Jay. Jay. Jay. Jay. Jay. Jay. Jay. Jay. Jay. Jay.